Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is MJ Rosenberg, who worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years. Previously, he was a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, focusing on foreign policy and the Middle East. And he served as a director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and was an editor of Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APEX, biweekly publication on Middle East policy. Welcome to Background Briefing, MJ Rosenberg.
Thank you, Ian.
And all of the APEC delegates have descended upon Washington. They've had meetings Monday and again on Tuesday. And what is it that is going on vis-a-vis the sequester? Apparently, in spite of the hit that so many Americans are taking because of the sequester, APEC's trying to preserve some of the money that the U.S. gives in terms of military aid. Is that correct?
Until just a few minutes ago, we didn't really know, like, officially from AIPAC that they are going to try to get Israel exempted from the sequester. But Congressional Quarterly just reported, they have a quote from AIPAC saying that the sequestration in general is a bad idea, and it's even a worse idea for Israel to be affected by it. So they intend to fight it. And they even had, the article quoted the head of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Eliana Ross-Lehtinen, saying that she is working right now with her colleagues to come out with a way to carve out an exemption.
Well, how is this going to play, though, with the average American when you've got 100,000 kids on Head Start not getting their breakfasts at school, poor families not getting fed? I mean, this is hitting a lot of Americans where it hurts.
Well, traditionally, unfortunately, the American people don't pay attention to this issue. The fact of the matter is that the Israel, you know, the $3+ billion a year that we give Israel, we give them it without any strings attached, unlike the case with any other country in the world. It's such a unique gift to Israel that despite all our budget problems, it's never argued about, never discussed, no matter what Israel does or doesn't do. I agree with you that this particular thing where you're going to be taking, you know, you're going to be giving Israel a few hundred million dollars, that's the difference, you know, a few hundred million dollars that will not go to, as I said, kids on Head Start or the National Institutes of Health for cancer research or whatever, that should enrage Americans. It's crazy. Also, Israel doesn't need the money. Israel is one of those countries in the world that has not been affected by the worldwide economic slowdown. So they're in much better shape than we are. And, the way the foreign aid program is set up, if Israel gets exempted, as AIPAC intends it will, the difference in the money will have to be made up by cutting aid to other countries. And those other countries are your traditional foreign aid recipients. They get much less than Israel, but we're talking about particularly sub-Saharan Africa, where it's not arms programs that we provide, where it's treatment for diarrhea, pregnancy, you know, care, assisting farmers, all those kinds of life and death things will be cut to make up for preserving Israel's piece of the pie. It's outrageous, but I'm not optimistic anymore that Americans ever notice these things.
Well, certainly AIPAC notices it, though, does it not? I mean,
they notice it,
right?
But that doesn't mean. I mean, I saw in this In his article in the Congressional Quarterly, Congressman Brad Sherman of California, who is an AIPAC stalwart to the nth degree, said flat out, this will look terrible and we should think twice about doing this. So I think the only way that they will look twice and not do it is if we give it a lot of attention. This is the kind of thing they like to pull off in the dark. I mean, it's complicated. You know, it's really interesting. Also, J Street, which is supposedly the anti AIPAC lobby, the more progressive lobby on Middle East things, they're also supporting the AIPAC position. They want Israel aid protected. It's outrageous. It's just outrageous.
Again, I'm speaking with MJ Rosenberg, who worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House of Senate, and we're talking about how AIPAC is lobbying to get money that the sequester has cut restored. And, of course, this is in the face of other serious cuts to basic needs for poor children's nutrition, etc., in this country. Now, AIPAC did not take a position on the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, who, of course, right. other more hawkish pro-Israel groups went after with a vengeance. What's your understanding of why they didn't take a stand on that?
I think they just didn't take a public stand. They decided they're taking a public stand against Hagel, particularly once one of AIPAC's diehard supporters, Chuck Schumer, endorsed him. They realized that Hagel was going to be confirmed, and they decided that, you know, they'd be very careful in their opposition. So they didn't oppose him publicly. But all the information that was provided that the senators used, you know, reading out all these things that, you know, Hagel supposedly said, resolutions he didn't sign or did sign, whatever, all that information came from AIPAC and its lobbyists. So in other words, they were, you know, they stood behind the scenes and they let these really crazy far-right organizations do the work for them. But there is absolutely no question those organizations would, if AIPAC wanted to stop that from happening, all they would have had to do is issue a statement saying, we respect the president's right to choose his own Secretary of Defense. They said nothing. So I think it was pretty clear that what they wanted was Hagel to be defeated, but they knew that it couldn't be accomplished. So they, you know, they tend to be very good about choosing their fights. But they, if you were a member of AIPAC and called them up and said, I'm meeting with my senator, what should I tell him to do? I wouldn't be in the room, but I'm sure they would have said, well, tell him you should oppose him. He's terrible for Israel. I mean, that's obvious from their point of view, but they're stuck with Hagel now. The anti-Hagel effort accomplished a lot because I saw today in the paper the very first foreign visitor that Hagel met with was Ehud Barak. And I swear the picture looked like it looked like Hagel was hugging his grandchild. He was so enthusiastic in his love and devotion. I mean, it really had the effect of it's going to really inhibit Hagel. And I think, you know, that's almost as good as stopping him from their point of view.
Well, what I find extraordinary, MJ Rosenberg, is that apparently at the AIPAC convention in Washington, D.C., at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, is the big centerpiece is Iron Dome, this anti-missile system that Israel has developed, with considerable funds from the United States, I might add, $300 million from the Obama administration. And when you say Israel doesn't need the money in terms of this money that goes for military spending or military subsidies for Israel's already incredibly robust arms industry, they're making stuff that's better than what we're making, aren't they? I mean, we have nothing like Iron Dome.
Right. I mean, and they don't need, you know, they already have Iron Dome, and that, you know, that's a commitment. You know, we help them develop it. They've got, you know, and they've got it, and yeah, right. They're certainly self-sufficient. I mean, I'm not saying that they don't need any aid from the United States. But, you know, I think what I'm mainly saying is you would think as a supposed ally, and AIPAC is now lobbying that it be designated the highest level of non-NATO ally, as a supposed ally, when they see the United States, when they see Americans sustaining these kind of cuts, you would think if they were any kind of friend at all, they wouldn't dream of allowing their lobby to spare them from a tiny bit of the big pain Americans are experiencing. In fact, I have to say, I wonder if it's Israel that is behind getting the exemption, or it's just AIPAC. I mean, AIPAC has sort of spun out off on its own. It does, you know, people think it always does what Israel wants. It doesn't always do what Israel wants. It certainly didn't support Rabin when he was trying to make peace with Arafat. I mean, this is the kind of thing that AIPAC does because this is their mission in their own mind. It just seems so self-defeating and stupid for the Prime Minister of Israel not to score points with the Americans by just saying, of course we expect to be cut, just like everyone else. But they don't. The Republicans always use the word entitlement. Well, the one gigantic entitlement in the budget that no one ever touches is the Israel aid program.
So what is going on in terms of U.S. senators giving AIPAC some kind of commitment that they would stand behind an attack on Iran? Is there anything new to that? I noticed that...
Well, there's Senator Menendez and Lindsey Graham have introduced this, again, this resolution. It's only a resolution, so it's not binding, though. It's worth noting with any resolution, they can easily be converted. Once you go for a non-binding resolution first, and then once you have Senate, passing it, then you go for a binding one later. So, but anyway, at this point, it's a non-binding resolution that has a whole bunch of whereas clauses, but the bottom line is that if Israel goes to war with Iran, regardless of how it spells it out, regardless of how that happens, regardless of whether Iran attacks Israel or Israel attacks Iran, regardless of how it happens, we are in the war. Which is an unbelievable. I don't think there's ever been anything like that. We have that with NATO. An attack on NATO is an attack on the United States. That's how NATO, that's the platform on which it's built.
And that was invoked at 9/11. That's why the NATO joined in Afghanistan.
Right. But Israel is not part of NATO, obviously. And Israel is a much more volatile part of the world these days than Europe. And this is not part of the U.S.-Soviet confrontation. This is one country that is has an agenda that, to a large extent, is at variance with our own national interests. And we're saying that if they get themselves involved in a war, that they could start. After all, it's them threatening the Iranians all the time. I mean, that is happening. We're just in the war, which is really kind of amazing when you think about the fact that, Franklin Roosevelt could not, had to go through all kinds of machinations to try to get the United States to go in and help Britain in 1940. He couldn't do it. The only way that he was able to bring the United States into the war to save Britain and France and our allies was, luckily for him, that was a terrible thing to say, Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese, and then the Germans were stupid enough to declare war on the United States. It's serious business. The United States does not just go to war, has never ceded that right to any other country. I mean, it's almost crazy. You think about it. Israel launches an attack. The attack doesn't go well. And the next day, the United States, our bombers take off from aircraft carriers and we start bombing too. I mean, it's crazy stuff. But, Menendez has got big political problems now because of all these corruption charges. And Lindsey Graham is trying to raise money from pro-Israel donors for he's worrying about a primary from the right in 2014. So this is what they do. This is what they all do, and the reason that they all do it is for campaign funds. I can't stress that enough. But I also want to stress that and I always want to say this so I'm not misconstrued, AIPAC is not the only lobby that operates that this way. This is our government on every single issue. It's fat cats and fat cat lobbyists overruling the interests of Americans. It's the way it works. AIPAC plays the game really well, and the difference is it's doing it for a foreign country, but hey, that's Washington. That's the city I live in.
But what is particularly galling at this moment, I think, is that when you've got across-the-board cuts resulting in 100,000 fewer low-income children being prepared for school through Head Start, 17 million fewer Meals on Wheels delivered to seniors suffering from food insecurity, and 1.6 million fewer unemployed Americans served through job training, education, and employment services. This is the reality of the sequesters on the American people.
Right.
And I guess the point you're making is that maybe this would be a time for Israel to be magnanimous, given how generous the American people have been over the decades. And, of course, we're talking about military aid to a country that in many ways has a more advanced military industrial complex than ours, given how much celebration is going on at the AIPAC meeting over the successful Iron Dome system, which the Obama administration in part funded.
So exactly.
I guess those are the questions that at least come to mind with me. So
it's almost like all we're asking of the Israelis is simple decency. You know, America, you know, we've got this damn sequestration thing here. It's the law, whether we like it or not. Americans are going to suffer because of these cuts. Well, you have to take a cut too. It almost seems like axiomatic that they should just order. It just should be so obvious. In fact, the law makes no exemption for Israel, obviously. So the only hope here, and it's a distance hope because of the nature of the people we're dealing with, the Tea Party crowd, the right-wing Republicans, don't want any exemptions for anything. They love the sequestration thing. So it'd be really interesting if all these super patriot types, who are so happy they have sequestration, then say, oh, well, let's exempt Israel. But you know what? Anything's possible with the lobby. They're probably on the phone right now with who's the head of the Tea Party in Congress is Eric Cantor. I'm sure he's quite sympathetic to an exemption for Israel.
Well, MJ Rosenberg, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Well, thank you so much, Ian. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I'm speaking with MJ Rosenberg, who worked on Capitol Hill for various Democratic members of the House and Senate for 15 years. Previously, he was a senior fellow for Media Matters for America, focusing on foreign policy and Middle Eastern affairs. He served as the director of policy analysis for the Israel Policy Forum and was an editor of the Near East Report, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, that's AIPAC's biweekly publication on Middle East policy. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. I'm